And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of our continent's eminent voiceover artists, Chilulemba, the voiceover plug.
It's the voiceover plug, episode 11 already. And my guest, once again, we're going to be speaking to somebody who's overseas. So the power of connectivity. Today, we're using CleanFeed, which you can check out online. Google it. It's good for this kind of thing. And my guest is an award-winning voiceover artist based in London. With multiple nominations and two major wins, my guest today is Joe Troy. Joe, how you doing?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm doing okay. It's a good start to the year so far. Hopefully, you've also been busy since the beginning of January.
Yes. Fingers crossed. Everything continues for the rest of 2023.
Absolutely. Fingers, toes, everything crossed.
Yeah.
So Joe, here's my starting point, and this might find this amusing. So last year, I got a couple of awards. I think we were probably on the same number of awards, you and I. But because we have that in common, this is what's happening in my world since I got the Sovus Voice Arts Award in December.
Congrats,
guys are asking me, so no, thank you, and congrats on yours too. But guys are asking me, when they meet me, like, so have the prices gone up? have you been getting similar queries since your awards?
Do you know what it is? I don't like to talk about prices, but just, yeah, it does change a little bit with inflation anyway. So
we'll just anchor it on inflation and say,
let's blame it on inflation. Yeah.
Okay, let's start it this way. You are in the voiceover industry and you're making crazy moves. You're knocking down doors and all that kind of stuff. But then when I kind of track your story, I realize you haven't been doing this for so long.
No.
So my initial question is, how did you find yourself in the world of voiceover, and how recent was it?
Well, voiceovers, I've been doing this since 2020.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a year or two before that, I was kind of looking into the voiceover industry and what it was and what I would need to do to possibly get into it. But there's not a lot of information out there. So, one thing led to another, then I decided to put it to the side. And when I say there's not a lot of information out there, there is, but what I found was a lot of American, a lot of American stuff out there. So it didn't really relate to me. And I put that to the side. Fast forward 2020 during the infamous pandemic. I guess it was just, opportunity meets, let's do this now. And all the stars aligned. And I did not go into it thinking anything. I literally just made a self-recorded demo. Didn't know anything. Just took some scripts down. Recorded it, sent it to my friend who was an engineer. He just mixed it up, put some backing music to it.
Yeah.
And then I literally just put it on some freelance websites. And then literally within 5-6 months, I was like, wow, like, this is a thing. I was making money from it. It was my job. And, obviously then I found out there was a lot more to it than just talking on the mic. There's the techniques, there's the education, there's the pricing, there's a whole load of things, as you know. So that made me go down a rabbit hole and just do a lot more research, and it's been a roller coaster ride ever since, but it's been a good one.
And it's interesting you talk about those resources that are available online, mostly being American, obviously because they've had a head start in many respects. But incidentally, just as we're having this conversation right now, earlier today, I had an email that came through into my inbox about Gravy for the Brain Africa that's launching just now. I mean, Gravy for the Brain obviously is a platform and like a resource of sorts, which helps lots of people. And it's based in the UK.
Yes.
But it also has like a very, I wouldn't say an American influence, but it's mishmashed because a lot of the people that go in there to coach and so on are names that we know from the US. It's very interesting, and it's just nice that it's incidental that it's happening right now. And speaking of which, when you did decide to dive in, you say you did your demo and stuff. Was coaching something that you considered, and did you get coaching to kind of just refine your craft?
In I would say, this is the thing that stopped me from actually jumping in initially. And it was simply the lack of information out there. And because of the lack of information, I didn't know that I could be me.
Oh.
And what I meant by that is, you know, you hear people on TV, people reading the news, they speak a certain way, they speak in RP. So it initially I was like, oh, I need to seek out coaches and maybe, you know, speak a bit more RP to get jobs and such and such. And then it's only until I started, you know, I just threw my stuff out on the freelance sites and I started getting work, I realized that there is a market for people, everyday people, you know. It sounds stupid, but it sounds stupid me thinking that now, but it's like at the time I was like, that's how everyone sounds, like RP.
Yeah.
And coaching, I looked at coaching, but if I'm honest, luckily the prices were out of this world at the time for me. So I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't see it being helpful. And as well, the coaches that I was going to, who I was talking to about dialect and stuff like that, they kind of, because they knew a lot more than me, obviously, they kind of said, you don't need to change your accent, which was, you know, nice as well. And then the only coaching I got was years, maybe like about 8 months into it, when I wanted to actually get a gaming demo made.
But
in terms of my commercial reel, which I called my general reel at the time, which was just a mishmash of everything, I basically used that up until last year work. So yeah, I didn't really use coaching, but it's definitely something that I would recommend to people. I think I was a lucky exception, but it definitely does help in certain aspects of, you know, what to expect and how to prepare yourself, etc.
That's another thing you and I have in common, because I haven't had formal coaching per se, but, you know, later on if I decide to branch into other areas where I haven't decided to go into, like gaming and so on, I would consider coaching. But yeah, just like you, I haven't had coaching, but I do recommend coaching. So we've got that in common as well. But then you've also touched on something interesting, because that thing that you're describing, the just being you, is what has been called the conversational read, in terms of what directors like to call it. And I have that thing where a lot of people in a session will say, just speak like you, speak like Chilu. But, you know, Chilu speaks kind of sometimes like a voiceover dude. So, you know, so that guy next door kind of vibe is what I picked up from some of your recordings, and it works really well. Would you say that's kind of your favorite vibe that you bring to recordings? Just, you know, being the guy next door?
Yeah, I think that's my favorite kind of script, where I get to be me. And, you know, I just like to, how should I say, I just want to be a representation of people like me and sound like me. And that's what I enjoy. And obviously I know voice acting is acting. So, you know, there are going to be times when I might have to dial something up or dial something back. And if I'm going to be a character in something, obviously I will have to change it. I'm not naive in that sense, but I really enjoy when there's an engaging script that wants Joe, you know, just authentic Joe.
So here's another question for you, Joe. I see that you also got some US representation, and to me that kind of tells me that you do work for people outside of the UK. And there's that general thought that, you know, if somebody's from the UK, then they've got a British accent. And they might not necessarily realize that there are different accents all over the UK. I'll give you an example. I was in, not Manchester, I was in Newcastle in 2004. You know, I spent a couple of days there with my brother-in-law and family. And I kid you not, for 2 days, I had no idea what anybody was saying apart from my brother-in-law and his family. Because the accents are so, you know, so different from and it takes, I'm sure, a lot of getting used to. Your ear has to kind of start understanding what's being said and so on. So do you get that? Like somebody just says British accent, or do you get directors dialing it, you know, to different accents, and can you deliver once they ask that?
In terms of, for the most part, I think obviously I've got a London accent, so I think that accent is pretty mainstream in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of TV shows where you've got Cockney voices, you know, you've got...
And guys like Idris Elba also.
I was just about to say that, yeah. Exactly. I get so many Daniel Kaluuya, Idris Elba, can you do this? And you know, thanks to these guys, you know, the accent, the London accent is on the map a lot more. Mm. But in terms of, you know, just dialects in general around the country, it's like a lot of people forget about these amazing accents that are in the UK. And, you know, it's within the UK, they're all over the place. But I think outside is few and far between.
Yeah.
It's changing very quickly just in general. But I still do believe that the popular accents in the UK still is RP. I still do believe that because it's neutral, it goes with everything, but I think it is changing you know, ever so slowly, but we'll get there eventually.
Okay, what's RP, man? I've been
RP.
It's coming up a few times in the conversation, and I've switched off my phone. I'm not gonna Google.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
I don't know what it stands for. It's called received pronunciation. So it's RP.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see, you learn something new every day. Yeah. The other thing. Yeah. Sorry, I was gonna say.
No, go on.
The other thing you and I have in common is a background with music. So you know, before I got into radio, before later on getting into voiceover, I was making music. I was, you know, heavily into hip hop and that kind of thing. Do you want to tell me a bit about your journey musically and with your poetry, or is that something
Sure. Yeah. I think the transition into voiceover was natural for me because the fact I had been performing for many years. And it kind of gave me a head start in terms of using equipment and so forth. But yeah, it's just been a passion of mine that I've done forever.
Nice.
And, you know, rap, you know, a bit of singing, spoken word.
Oh, wow.
It's just a way to be creative, just to get your thoughts and feelings out there. I must say, since voiceover has kicked off, it has taken a back seat, which I'm trying to change this year. But it definitely helps with performance and everything like that. But
I mean, besides the fact that you're probably had a network of people within the industry, like sound engineers, etc.
Yes.
The other disciplines or other aspects of artistry in music that help once it comes to voiceover. So in my world, I found that I used to sometimes rap very fast, you know, and so these days when I translate that into my work as a voiceover artist, when they give me a script and they say, okay, we need this to be in 15 seconds, I think I'm using a lot of that muscle memory from my time as a rapper. Yeah. To you know, speed up the words and stuff, you know, terms and conditions apply, berries not included, that kind of thing, you know, using that to you know, work for me in this market that's makes more money than, you know, if I was doing rap, I suppose.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah. I do catch myself sometimes after a take or during a take, my hands are just moving in a way like I'm performing real rapid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just laugh to myself because even when I go to a studio, like they'll see me do it and they probably don't think anything of it, but I start to get paranoid. I'm like, what an idiot I am.
Don't worry, I'm doing the same thing right now. I'm speaking to you and my hands are moving all over the place. That's magic. So the other thing, I'm just curious also, in South Africa, for the longest time, in terms of the way the industry set up for voiceover, the pattern and the almost the way of working was predominantly voice artists are booked by agents and then they go to studios. So you physically drive to a studio, you interact with clients, and then you're out. And I know that from watching, you know, videos on YouTube and interacting with guys from the US, they had already moved on from that way back. Home recordings, I think, or you know, guys having studios at their houses was the main thing in the States. Obviously, for productions in Hollywood, you have to go to the studios to do those. But what's it like on your side of the world? Is it more times than not you're you know getting on the tube to Soho or whatever to record, or are you doing your home thing?
I would say 90% of my work is at home.
Lovely.
And then a lot of the time, to be honest, when I go to the studio, I probably could record from my house, but I understand the client wants a certain kind of experience, so I get that. Computer game work is always in a studio.
I
would say the bigger commercial jobs are going to be in Soho and places like that, but I still recall predominantly from my house.
I did once. I was in London because family there as well, and I had to go to a studio in Soho to record stuff, and when I was done I was like, I really could have done this because I've got my gear and everything else, but sometimes clients want that comfort of, no, there's a Neumann U87 in that
studio. Exactly, yeah.
And the thing is, they
are spending a lot of money, so I understand But they don't. I think they forget that if I recorded from my house and I recorded in the studio, you probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Exactly.
Because your ear isn't trained to notice the differences.
I'm laughing because I just remembered what happened in that particular instance. I recorded at that, studio, and then once I got back home, they said there's a line that they need picked up, so for the same ad. So instead of booking the studio, I just kind of went under the duvet at the house at the time. They plugged my equipment in there, sent the audio. They couldn't tell the difference.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they used it, and I watched the ad, and, I was, giggling to myself. But one of those things. All right, so now I want to talk a bit about your podcast. And what I enjoyed, I've been listening to episodes, and it's informative. There's a lot of prod that goes into it because you're getting other people's views. Within an episode, you're packing like not just two voices like I'm doing right now. You're having other people from your network coming in with their points of views on different things that you're tackling. So, kudos to you. And what I also like is how you set it up at the beginning of the episode, saying that, you're learning. So you've got your hat as you've got all this knowledge, but at the same time, on the other side, you're also being a student. So there's that duality, which I enjoy. But why did you start the podcast? Why is that important to you?
There's a few reasons. The first one is I like creating things. I'm from a creative background, music. I just like audio. With scripts, a lot of the time you're just doing what other people want you to say. So I felt a bit like, oh, I need to do something. And, what can I do? I've always wanted to do a podcast. And also the fact that one of the main reasons why I delayed my entrance into the industry was because there was a lack of information. Mm. So all of those reasons put together, I wanted to put something out there that people could listen to and people could learn from, and I'm learning from as well. I'm sure you get a lot of messages as well, people asking you questions about how they can do this and this and this.
Absolutely.
So it's like, guys, let's hear. Tell me what you want to say. I want to put it on the podcast. I'm going to ask all your questions you have, and hopefully you'll get something from it. Mm. And that's all it is. I don't want to. It was a bit awkward in the beginning because I was like, how do I attack this podcast? Because I know what I'm doing, but I'm not an expert. I will never stand here and be like, I know more than someone that's been doing it for 10 years. But I know what Joe can do.
Yeah.
So I need to do something where I can educate but learn at the same time. I had to find that middle ground, and it's been going well. People have been receiving it well, and it's really fun to make.
So your story kind of mirrors my story. The reason I started the voiceover plug was because every single day I have people in my DMs asking how to get by in the industry, and so there's knowledge out there, but sometimes you want to be like a guide that helps and falls in the slipstream of all this other knowledge. so that they can get your perspective. But then you want to do it in a formalized fashion, because if you are overwhelmed with all these messages coming to you and you can't respond, it's easier to say, listen to episode one, we tackled this.
Exactly.
Listen to episode three, we tackled this. Mm. But then you went one step ahead, and here's, I also need you to punch your ebook, because, you know, it's, you went one step ahead and did an actual ebook, which is on your website, and people who want to get into the industry
can...
I
don't know what I was thinking.
No, but it's because, put it this way, Joe, I've written a book, right? But yeah. I went the other way. I wrote a book, and my motivation was, I'm going to write a book about my life story so my daughters one day can read it and figure out what my journey was like, etc. And I titled it Finding My Voice. And my wife came up with the title. Let me not... you know, take credit. So the book's called Finding My Voice. Now, some people who are in the industry, you know, like I'd be at a meeting, for instance, of voiceover artists, and one guy says, yeah, I'm looking to buy your manual. And I'm like, no, it's not a manual, you know. And then somebody else who hasn't read it will post and say, if you're looking to get into voiceover, buy Chilu's book, Finding My Voice. And I'm like, no, it's a memoir. You know, it's got stories about me being bullied and you know, me coming, you know, getting my first job, etc. It's not really, it hasn't got those nuggets, but that's what you've done. And so that's why I want to point to your work with the ebook, so that, you know, if somebody's thinking of getting into voiceover, they can, you know, go onto your website and get the copy. But what's in there?
So I made the ebook, obviously came before the podcast, but again, I am a creative person. I like to make things. So I was like, I want to write a book. I can't get it published as an actual book as I would have liked to. So let me make an ebook.
Yeah.
And the reason behind it again was literally just Joe in 2020 was looking to get into the industry, and there's a lot of good resources out there. I don't want to say there's not. In the UK, like you said before, Gravy for the Brain, as well as a few others, have amazing resources out there. Mm. But my problem was, A, I am lazy.
Well, I'm lazy. Fool me?
Yeah. And two, there's so much out there, you don't know which one is correct, because everybody's got their own way of doing things.
Yeah.
So I wanted to simplify what I did to get to where I am today.
Hmm.
And it's literally a step-by-step breaking it down, like, as I call it, idiot's guide.
Yeah.
It's literally just breaking it down, no fat, just do this, do this, do this, do this. These are the fundamentals that you have to think about, because that's another thing I didn't even think that I had to get an accountant, I had to do this, I had to do that. There's so many things that come with this job that you don't think about. How to market yourself, how to brand yourself, how to, you know, SEO, all of this stuff. And, you know, it sounds so simple now, but at the time I didn't know. And I assume people know this, but they actually don't. So I wrote this. It's not very long. There's a cheat sheet at the back. There's useful links in there where... using some of the resources that I used, like, for example, coaches, equipment that I bought, like my first setup, websites where you can, you know, use for scripts, and it's really simplified. So if you're starting out and you are looking for that, you know, that foundation just to give you, spark some ideas, definitely check it out.
I'm getting a copy, and I'll tell you this, I mean, I've been doing, the first recording I did was probably like in 1996. But with that said, I listened to episodes of your podcast, for instance, and there's some things which were like, well, I didn't know this, well, I didn't know that, well, I didn't know. So it's like, you know, kid in the candy store. So regardless of where you come in the voiceover journey, you could amass a whole bunch of knowledge which you can then pack into some form, whether it be a podcast or an ebook, like you've done in you know, both instances, and share it with the world. And that'll help guys who are starting out, but also guys who are curious about certain aspects that you never thought of. And you're also doing a good service to all of us by inviting other guys onto the show. So there's like a whole lot of perspectives, which one can get.
I must say though, the reason I do that as well is because when I first started, I was one of those people that did ask questions, and there were people that helped me. that are my peers today, and you know, I always will be thankful for them. They took time out of their day to help me with things, and I'm like, this community in the VO world is very giving.
Yes.
So I feel like we all give little bits, you know, little nuggets here and there, and we elevate each other. I definitely think there's more resources out there now than there was when I first started in 2020. That is more readily available out there, and it's trickling out to, you know, the average Joe.
Yeah.
Like the pun, that's what I'm trying to keep doing, you know.
No, cool. Okay, here, as we, you know, we're kind of getting to the close, I need to tell you that I was on your website and I really enjoyed how you've, you know, got that section where you manage the expectations of your clients by giving them a four-step map of what to expect when they deal with you. Because that four-step process is so simplified, but it speaks to the process regardless of where you're located. Kudos on doing that. And
thank you.
You might see it copied and pasted in certain.
No. Go for it.
You should copyright some of this stuff. No, I'm teasing. But no, Joe, it's been a pleasure. But before you leave, somebody listening to the voiceover plug and they've listened because of the fact that they want to kind of, you know, get a leg up in their journey, but they're still maybe at the beginning of it. What kind of thoughts would you plant in that person's mind just to, you know, kind of get them steady as they consider getting into voiceover?
I would say don't overthink it. Just go for it. Like, honestly, that's the main thing that's holding you back is yourself. Voiceover isn't difficult, but to master it is where the problems occur. But to get started, get your teeth into some scripts and enjoy yourself, just go for it and be prepared to invest in yourself.
Yep. Yeah. All right, we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow Joe's journey, check out joetroy.com, Troy like Troy. And then you can also follow him on Instagram, JoeTroyVO, on LinkedIn, same handle, on Twitter, same handle. At least you uniform with that stuff, man. So some people battle. You get Joe Troy on Instagram, and then you find somebody else's taking on Twitter.
Yeah.
Then it has to be like Joe Troy 1234 on this other platform and so on. So yeah, but it's been a pleasure hosting you, man, and wishing you all the success.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
And that was the voiceover plug with Chilulemba. Catch Chilu on social media using the handle @Chilulemba. And if you haven't checked out his memoir, Finding My Voice, get it as an audiobook on Audible and ebook or paperback on Amazon.